question is not, are you worthy to reach your goals? The question is, are your goals worthy enough of you?
Why do we do things against our better judgment? I mean, this is an age-old question. When we know what to do, why don't we just do it? And particularly in today's age where we have the world's information at our fingertips, we don't have the excuse of not knowing what to do anymore. Who doesn't know basically how to lose weight? Okay, maybe the specifics, but we basically know that chocolate cake is not as healthy as a healthy salad. Who doesn't know that? Who doesn't know that if you want to have better relationships with people, you have to be fully present with them? Who doesn't know that if you want to do better at your job, you have to do the work, especially the hard stuff that other people don't want to do? We know these things. So there's no excuse anymore to say, well, I just didn't know how. Google is right there for anyone to use. What we're lacking is the ability to follow through. We're lacking the ability to avoid distraction. Getting ahead in life is not just about doing the right things. It's about avoiding not doing the wrong things. And that's what becoming indistractable is all about. It's about whatever it is that you say is important to you in your life, how do you make sure you do those things?
Well, if somebody says something out loud, it's 10 times more powerful than if they think it. That negativity is a multiple of 4 to 7 times more powerful than positivity. So think about that. If I say something out loud, it's 10x. If it's negative, it's 4 to 7 times more powerful. So when I say negative things out loud, it's 40 to 70 times more likely that that will happen or cause a result that won't be good for me than if I just didn't say anything.
I've been in a moment of failure. It's because I was sort of really scared of what people would think. I was living in some other guideline, you know, some other path that somebody told me, like, oh, you have to go to college and then start a business and be successful. And once you're successful, you're smart and no one should ever know that you're stupid. So I was afraid to let people know that I didn't go on this straight path. So that's the ordinary world. And then, you know, in the arc of the hero, you go from the ordinary world to the extraordinary. The extraordinary is when I admit failure and now I have to go on this very unusual path to find my way back. And that's going from the ordinary world to the extraordinary. And then along the way, you have bigger and bigger problems and you meet your new friends and people who will help you until finally you have the greatest crisis of all and you bring it back to tell the story. Like you bring it back and you have a podcast or you write an article or whatever. And that's the full arc of the hero.
You know, for me, fear, the things I'm scared of, I'm like, come on. You know, it's calling me. It says, hey, come play over here. It's an indicator. It's a good indicator, not a bad indicator. Lean into it. Come play with me, okay? So I either have fear because it's really dangerous. Yeah, like I'm going to get to the edge of this thing. I'm going to get on the other side of that thing. I'm probably going to be scared because I don't know what it feels like to fall, you know, this many floors and hit. Maybe it does. Maybe there's no big deal about it. Maybe dying's not even a big deal. But I don't have the experience. I don't consciously have the, so, you know, I used to be like, I can't buy a $78,000 house. I was terrified the first house I bought. I don't know what I'm doing. This is the problem. And you're not going to have the experience if you don't move through the fear. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do it once and then they don't do it again. You got like, it's not going away. It's just going to, you're going to get used to the ski boots. You know, the first time you put them on, man, they're freaking banging your shins. Like, I can't, man. But you just wear into them.
So interest, curiosity is that open quality that we've been talking about that's really about being curious about the journey. Like, oh, you know, look at this grain of wood. Isn't that, you know, and not just isn't that interesting intellectually, but just really letting our senses rip. And just letting that feeling of curiosity come pouring out.
Think about where you could be in 10 years. You don't have to know how to get there. Elon Musk hasn't solved all the problems to get to Mars. But when he talks about why he's here, when he talks about that vision, he's talking 10 years ahead. Because it explains how many of these big minds are literally applying envisioning to build their businesses. And that the envisioning concept is more important than talent or venture capital or ideas or execution. It starts with envisioning. Everything else flows from there. Realism is nothing more than a socially acceptable form of pessimism. The people with the most consistent track records of success don't think in terms of what is, they think in terms of what could be.
Of when they get to work, They say they're going to do something. They say they're going to work on that big project. They're going to stop procrastinating and do that thing that they've been planning to do right after they check email, right after they scroll that Slack channel, right after they do that quick thing that they have to talk with a colleague real quick. And so 30, 45 minutes later, they still haven't started to do the thing they plan to do. I call it pseudo work. I kind of need to check email, right? I kind of need to do that stuff. But if I plan to do something else at that time, it is just as much of a distraction. So anything can become a distraction as well. And the reason this is so pernicious is that we are slaves now to the urgent at the sacrifice of the important when we do that. And today, in today's age where technology is so pervasive and so persuasive, I mean, it is designed to be persuasive and we want it to be persuasive. We want products to be engaging, then it's easier than ever to get distracted.
And I think it's not so much to say fit your life into an arc on purpose. You should just ask yourself, maybe, am I the hero of my journey? Like, what can I do today to have, even in a microscopic way, something that is a mini call from a mini ordinary to a mini extraordinary? I think it's an interesting challenge.
A, your language is powerful, but number two, your behavior is way ahead of your success. And so many people let their feelings dictate what they do as opposed to throw your behavior out there. Russell Wilson's 5'10". He shouldn't be playing pro football, but he behaves like the best quarterback in the country. And he's done that since before he was at that level. And then his feelings and emotions and his skill caught up to that behavior. What I do, not how I feel about my past, is going to determine who I am in the future. And that's what I think neutral thinking is. And I think neutral thinking isn't just thinking. I think it's behavior, and I think it's language. And so your behavior is what's going to change you. But you also have to start by asking yourself, what do I want and why do I want it? Why don't I have it?
When you wake up, when you have this transformation, when you go from Elon Musk to Elon plus the wisdom of Ariana, in that metaphor, you start opening yourself up to so much more. Now, the first aspect of the dark side of vision is this imbalance, but I want to tell you about another aspect, and that second aspect is cultural programming. The visions that we are pursuing don't come from us. They come from outside us. I became an engineer not because I wanted to be an engineer, it's because I'm an Indian male, and if you're an Indian immigrant, you learn very early in your family that your parents value education, you're going to come back with A's, all A's, not one B or one C, and that there are only four options in your life. You become a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, or a family embarrassment.
Why do we do anything? What's the nature of human motivation? And when you think about it, most people will tell you some version of carrots and sticks, that it's about the pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain. This is Freud's pleasure principle.
Yeah.
But neurologically speaking, that's not true. That in fact, we do not do things in the pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain. That neurologically speaking, we only do things for one reason, and that is to avoid discomfort. Physiologically, we know this is true. If you go outside and it's cold, that's not comfortable. What do? You put on a coat. And when you go back inside, now it's too hot, that's not comfortable, you take it off. If you're hungry, you feel hunger pangs, you eat. And when you're stuffed, oh, that doesn't feel good, you stop eating. So physiologically, we feel this all the time. This is called the homeostatic response. The same rules apply with psychological sensations, not just with physiological sensations. So when you're feeling lonely, check Facebook. When you're uncertain, you Google. When you're bored, check the news, check sports scores, check Reddit, Pinterest, whatever. All of these things cater to these uncomfortable sensations. So that means if all human behavior is spurred by a desire to escape discomfort, that means, as you said, time management is pain management.
Even if I'm going through a difficult challenge, even if I'm going through a reorg in a business, you know, if I still feel like, okay, this is not optimal, but there's something I can do, then I'm helpful to myself. And when I'm helpful, I'm hopeful. And when I'm helpless, I'm hopeless. We have to believe that we can influence our future. You know, we've got to believe. I believe that no matter what I'm facing, I can influence my future. That just because my first marriage didn't work, that doesn't mean my second marriage won't. But it's incumbent upon me to be better. What are you gonna do to be different going forward? So many people think the self-help industry is about things you do. I think one of the things that makes athletes so incredible is what they're willing not to do, what they're willing not to say, what they're willing not to eat, what they're willing not to consume, what they're willing not to watch. What are five things you cannot do right now that will instantly make your life better?